Tonight, Matthew chapter 6, verse of scriptures, verse 33. That's one of my favorite verses of scriptures. Means a lot to me, especially when the Lord was calling me to preach about laying down everything I had that I needed to do, make sure I had the right value system. Following the design, you know, God's got a design for every one of us. God's got a plan for everybody, saved and lost, but especially, you know, you find God's plan for your life and God's will for your life. You see, because God designed this universe, He has a plan for this universe. You know, the sun comes up every morning, the sun goes down. You know, it's summer, winter, fall, spring. God's got a design plan for this whole universe and the rotating of all the planets. God's got an order. He got a design for every one of them to follow. They call it the law of nature, but really it's the law of God that nature obeys. But you think about the universe and how big this universe is, and God's plan, design for all the universe, for all the stars and the sun, and all the planets on rotation. And yes, God's got a design for every one of those. God's law, but also God has got a law for little old bitty mankind. God's got a plan, got a law for every one of us, for us to follow. He's designed for this universe, for them, the whole universe to stay in orbit like He planned. But you see, also He designed for you and I to be following Him just like the nature follows Him. And we need to get on God's design plan for our life, following this design that God's got for each and every one of us. You want to be happy, you want to have joy, you want to have completeness in life. You just find the design that God's got for you, because He has one for every one of us. One of those things is just to follow the Lord. So reading this verse of Scripture, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things that you try to have from day to day and you work all that shall be added unto you. But first things first, and that is follow the kingdom of God. First, seek ye at the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Let us pray. Father Jesus, again, we want to thank you, Lord, just for breaking open your precious word. Father, for reading the power, God, of each word that's in your gracious book. And Father, we want to thank you for this Bible. We want to thank you for the word of God, for the leadership and the guidance we have in our life because, Lord, of your precious word. And Lord, you have a design for every one of us and a plan in our life. And Father, for us to get in on that, the plan that you have for us, that we might be happy and content and satisfied in life, oh God, that we might be doing the will of the Father. And Lord, we want to thank you again this hour that we come together in the name of Jesus Christ with excitement in our hearts and our lives, knowing, Father, that you said we're two or more be gathered together, that you'll be in our midst. And we want to thank you for meeting with us, Father, each time that we meet together in the precious name of the Lord and Savior. Father, this night we want to thank you, Lord, for honoring your name upon all those that we have prayed for, all the names have been called out, concern for those that's going in the hospital, the operation, the technology, the procedure that are going to have to go through. But Father, we know you said your precious word that you'll never leave us, you know will you forsake us, and we want to thank you for that promise. Even though we can't see you, Lord, we can't feel you, we know that your promise said that you'll be there. And Father, we want to thank you for all the mighty, mighty blessing that you bless us with this day. And each day that we're able to just get out of bed, oh Father, because there's so many people that can't even rise from bed this hour. So we want to thank you and all the family members that we just praying for this hour, God, that we just want to thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I guess you've heard about the Murphy's Law, the all kind of laws that Murphy said that, you know, that was in the law. Have you heard some of these? It says, if anything can go wrong, it will. That's one of his laws, and I kind of believe that myself. And it says, the easiest way to find something that's lost around the house is go buy a replacement. Y'all ever had that problem? You want to go just, I just go buy it to start with because I know I can't find it. He says, okay, where there's a flat surface, someone will find something to put on top of it. I said, that sounds like me now, that Murphy's Law. That sounds like me now. It's something to put on it. And the length of the minute determines on which side of the door of the bathroom that you're standing on. Hey, I thought that was pretty good for Murphy's Law, too. Yes, sir. And the shortness of the winter if you want to shorten the winter time, just borrow some money. It's due in the spring. It won't take long with it. He says the last thing, he says, how come the wrong telephone number is never busy? There's some truth to that Murphy's law, isn't that right? But, you know, that's fun to say, but you see, God's got a law. And I tell you, God's law is following to the design for your life. You know, God's got a design for every one of us. You know what? He's got the best design. You know, if we could just understand that God's got a design for every one of our lives, we want to be happy, and everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to have joy. Everybody wants to have contentment. Everybody wants to have satisfaction. And you know how it is? Just to find God's will and get in on it. God designed for you a pattern of life, a plan of life, and for us just to get in on it. And determine our priorities. In Matthew chapter 6 and 33, as I read about the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he said, all these things be added unto you. But Proverbs 3 in verses 5 through 7, it says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Be not wise in thy own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. That's good advice from the Word of God. Did y'all know it? Lean not on thy own understanding, but understanding of God. These priorities determine our values and what really matters to you. If we really want to live our life in happiness and contentment, the values that really happen to you to have in our life is priorities. To understand the thought of God's design in your life determines our priorities. Are those values based on the Word of God? Are you following these patterns in the life of God for you and for me? If it is, are you really, is it really based on the Word of God? So a lot of people have some priorities not based on the Word of God. God has a design pattern, a plan for your life. And you know the problem we have in our country and the problem we have in usually for Christians and for people today, you know, people follow other people and other things and sets priorities and standards of the value. For instance, you see, we're living in a culture stage at the entertainment industry. Sets a lot of priorities and also values for us today. People looking at television and the movie stars and entertainment industry of all different time. And a lot of the TV and the movies, they set the standards and they set, you know, the values of people that looks at it in their life and what's really, really valuable. But also the world of education, they decide a lot of the values today. You know, a lot of these quacks at these colleges and universities, these people make $200,000 or $300,000 a year, they call them teachers, you know. And they ain't nothing but quacks to start with, but you see, they set the values for our society and all of our colleges and universities. And I tell you, the education world, they decide the value, what's valuable, what's not valuable. And then we can just keep going on and on with the political world. My goodness, did I have to mention that? You know, the political world, they try to set the family values. Did y'all know that? Can you imagine? Same thing, the entertainment industry, and they try to set the family values. As we look at television, all that lifestyle they tell you, is all right to have and everything, but is that the values of God? Is that the values of God? You know, values, that's important to you. That's what we need to understand. What is the values that's really, really important to you? You need to understand that, what's really important to you. Significance of our values is very, very important to us because they determine a lot of things in our life. Proverbs 3 and 5, again, it says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know not why that said? God knows more about it than we do. You really believe that? God knows more about our life than we do. Your values will be determined by your trust in the Lord. Your values will be determined by your trust in the Lord. And these values will be determined by three things. You know, the stress in life, the influence of your success, and really affect your salvation in all three of these areas. The values will determine these things. The stress in life, you know, we're living in a time where there are a lot of stress. That's very, very dangerous thing. Stress brings on high blood pressure. Stress brings on all type of sickness. But stress, what really causes this stress in your life? James 1 and 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Well, this stress, and we were talking about the things that really helps us in life and determines our stress now. A person says that his values are one thing, but you know, he lives his life according to something else, and it brings on stress. There's a lot of stress in the day that you and I live today. And a lot of people, the reason they have this stress, is they're not really living in God's plan and God's design for their life. And what they say is important to them, they don't live like that's the most important thing to them. They, for instance, they say that family is very, very important. But how much time do they spend with a family? That's what it's talking about, a double-minded man. They say, well, my family is the most important thing to me outside of Jesus Christ. But how much time do people really spend with their family? Well, they don't spend much time with their family, but they say that's important. How much time they spend? They ask Jesus Christ a very important question, you know, about your family, about what's important. Do you have time for Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ important to you? How much time do you spend with Jesus Christ? How much time you spend in His Word? When we live our life out of harmony with God's plan, it brings on stress. When we live our life outside of God's plan, it brings on stress. Y'all believe that? Stress into our life because it brings unhappiness. Did you know the most miserable person that we have is not the lost person? It's a slave person, it's a Christian, outside the will of the Lord, backslidden on the Lord, not living according to God's design for that person because they have the nature of God. If they are saved, if they are backslidden, are they living out in this world and not doing what God has told them to do, they are a very miserable, miserable person. A lot of people think people are lost, you know, that's a miserable person, but no, not necessarily. Not necessarily don't mean that they may be having fun because you see there's fun in sin for a season. There's pleasure in sin for a season. A lot of people are lost. They're not miserable. They don't know any better. They don't know any better. But you take that person has a priority, you know, of Jesus Christ, but they're not living for it. Very, very unhappy. They're not living by the Word of God. The Bible is very, very important. Yet he says, I don't live my life by the Bible. I don't have that standard. I live by the worldly standards. Now, anybody brings on stress in their life. Any Christian brings stress on their life whenever they're not living by the standards of the Word of God, when they're living by the standards of the world. We'll bring stress into our life, every one of us, when we do this thing. Living more, there'll be more stress, and it brings more stress in life than anybody else. The value that you live by will affect your stress in your life. Value will influence your success. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Whatever is important to you is going to be that what you place more emphasis on. Did you know that? What you place most emphasis on? The affection of your success in your life. What do you place it on? That's what's going to be more valuable, the influence of your success and what you place most of your emphasis on. It affects your salvation. Mark 8:36 says, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? This whole world. You see, outward he may have success, but inward he may be a failure in life without Jesus Christ. Without that plan as God's got for you. God's got it all mapped out for you. Y'all know that? All your plan of your life, right on up into the grave, right on through the grave, right out until all eternity. Every day, every hour, and every minute, God's got it all mapped out. We don't even have to guess. He's got our life all mapped out for us. Y'all believe He knows all that? And all we got to do is do what God tells us to do. But you see, there's a source of your value. As we look at these, we have two options. We live by the value of the Word, or we can live by the value of the world. We have two options. As a Christian, you choose. 1 John 2:15 and on, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Love not the world. He's not talking about people either. He's not talking about the world of people. No love, not no. John 3:16. God so loved the world. He's talking about, and that verse of scripture is the people of the world. But love not the world. That is this old culture that we're living in. The system was anti-God in this country, in this world that we're living in. The system of value of the world operates on the things of this world, but not on the things of God. We think about the determines our value system here is the value of life based on our pleasures. On our pleasures. Y'all see this, the pleasure. There's nothing wrong with pleasure. God intends for us to have pleasure. But when we put this priorities in our life, Luke 8:14 says, and that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, goes forth and are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasure of this life, and brings no fruit to perfection. Now, you know, he's talking about the sower. Went forth and sowed seed. Four different types of seed on the soil. One on the stony ground. Here it's talking about the riches. It says, and that growed forth there. But you see, when he heard the word of God, it says it was choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of the world. The pleasures of the world. Choked out the word of God. Now, do we have that problem today? I'm telling you, we have that problem in the world that we're living in, especially in this country. Boy, I'm going to tell you, pleasure, I'm going to tell you, it'd be number one in a lot of people's lives as Christians. And that brings on stress again. I'm going to tell you, pleasures. Pleasure chokes it out. It's pleasure, it's a choice. It's pleasure or either it's Christ. Which one is first for you? And this pleasure comes in all types of ways. They come in sports pleasures, travel and pleasures. Which one comes first? It always chokes out the Word of God. You know, the value based on these pleasures, I think about old Moses. He had a chance to choose Pharaoh's house and all the riches of this world and all the pleasures of sin for a season, but he knew it was going to come to pass. But of Moses, he didn't choose all that wealth, prestige, power, and all that fun and pleasure for a while. He chose the affliction with God's people because he knew something was going to last. People will choose pleasure in this life, but I'm telling you, pleasure will not last. And the values of life is based on pleasure come to the end. The number one industry in this country, did you know what the number one industry in this country is? It's entertainment industry. The biggest industry, most money spent, is entertainment industry. We obsess with pleasures in this world we're living in, especially this country that we're living in. They love pleasures more than they love Jesus Christ. Man, you go, ain't nothing wrong with ball, and nothing wrong with all type of sports. Ain't nothing wrong with it as far as I know. But I'm going to tell you what, when it comes time to serve Jesus Christ, I believe that sports ought to come second. It certainly ought not be first. Nothing wrong with it. Choose the value of this system, this world, or either the Word. You get a choice to do so. And what it brings stress whenever you choose the world instead of the Word. The value based on possession, Luke 12:15 says. Luke 12:15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses. Warning of material things and be a number one place in your life instead of Jesus Christ. Today, most Christians, or a lot of Christians, you know, they have their influence on the culture of the time that we're living in. Very hard. The stained people are based on their possession and what they have. Oh, Howard Hughes, you know, billionaire, you know, how much money you need? Howard, well, I need a little bit more. That's all right, you know, never enough. Billions and billions and billions of dollars. I don't know how much that is, a billion. I don't know how much that is. That's a lot of money. I'm telling you what, I'd buy a lot of candy, won't it? Old Solomon, he had it all, didn't he? Old Solomon, you know what? He had it all. God allowed him to have the dollars. He was the wealthiest man probably at that time. He had the fame, the fortune. He had 1,000 wives. Can you imagine what happened when all them brother-in-laws come to see him? Anyway, he had a bunch of wives, and, you know, he had everything he wanted. He tried it all. Just read the book, Ecclesiastes. He tried everything. You know what? None of that didn't make him happy. Vanity says all is vanity. It didn't bring me happy. It all come to an end. And yet, people, we still try to have pleasures, and we think that's going to be lasting pleasure, the things of this world that we possess. Maybe we tried also prestige and position. And Psalm 49 and 18 says, though while he liveth, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. Verse 19, he shall go to the generation of his father. They shall never see light. He said, man might applaud ye in this world, but he says, you know, they shall go to their father's generation. They go to that grave and they'll never see the light. You know, now people will praise you, position that you have today and your possession. They applaud you, but you see it's temporarily. What was this black singer's name? I can't remember that lady. You know, they just buried her. Yeah. I mean, ain't nothing wrong. She could sing good for it, I'm concerned, you know. And everybody knew they praised her and applauded her for all everything she's done. But you know what? She died. Michael Jackson, I mean, he was a great man to some people's eyes, but he died. Elvis Presley, he died. He was applauded by people, I'm going to tell you, put up on a pedestal, you know, but he died. That's what it says in that psalm, you know, but he died. They died, like me and you. It come to pass that they all died. I have some men and people I like, you know, I like old John Wayne. I still like watching his old movies. He's my hero, my Western, my hero. Old John Wayne, that's not his name, but that was his picture name, but he died. Old Gunsmoke, I watch Gunsmoke every night. I like old Gunsmoke. Y'all like Gunsmoke, you men? Old Matt Dillon, he's dead. He's my hero. He's dead. You see, no matter how high that you've ever grew in life, you know, that's high, that's way up there, is it not? But they died. They died. Solomon said, I had all this wealth and power and prestige and position, but it didn't bring me happiness. No, Solomon, he had to die. If you want to live by this divine design, you have to reject the value system of this world. We're fighting a battle. Did y'all know that? Reject this old value system of this world we're living in. And then the strength of our value. Matthew 7:24, at the end of the Sermon on the Mountain, he says, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken to him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And when the rain descended and the floods came and the wind blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the wind blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was it fall of it. Jesus Christ is teaching of that Sermon on the Mount, that you better have your foundation on the rock. And who is the rock? And that rock is Jesus Christ. Because just like all these great movie stars and these great people, one of these days they're going to come to the grave. And I'm telling you tonight, one of these days that every one of us are going to come to our grave if Jesus Christ don't come back. And you better have your life built upon the rock. The rock of Jesus Christ. The value system of this world we're living in is going to fade away. It's the world or it's the Word. Oh, it's passing away so fast. It's your foundation. You can't live by God's design unless you build on the foundation, and that's the value of the Word. As I said, you know, if we have revival, it's going to be back to the Word of God again for our life. How do you do this? You evaluate what's important. Get our priorities right. Ask yourself this question. We put a lot of emphasis on a lot of things. Everybody's got their mind on something different. But you can ask yourself this question. Whatever you spend this most time on, whatever you evaluate, will it last? What are you doing with your life? Will it last? The things you do and the priorities in your life. These priorities, will they last? You see, one of these days you might go to a hospital. One of these days you might go to a nursing home. One of these days that your family can't be with you. One of these days they might say, well, we've done all we can for them. One of these days you might hear the doctor say, well, we're going to send him home with hospice. You see, your family can't do but so much for you. Doctors can't do, medicine can't do so much. You know, anything we have in this life is just going to do so much for us. I mean, the reality is that one of these days these old bodies are going back to the dust from which they come from. You better have that foundation on the Word of God and that rock of the foundation, because it's coming. It's coming for every one of us. Do you ever picture yourself the end of your life, how you're going to die or anything? You ever picture yourself that, how you're going to die? I got my tombstone out there at Old Mill Creek Church. Once in a while, I go out and lay down on it and see how it feels. George, I don't know what she got wrote on hers. I got wrote on mine, I told you I was sick. But it's coming to us, though, isn't it? Every one of us. It's coming, isn't it? We're facing it. You better have your fat foundation now. Will it last? I'm going to tell you, will it last? We need to know that answer to this question. Pleasure, possessions, or position. It's all determined out. You know, pleasure, the Bible says there's pleasure in sin, but just for a season. The people that have puts pleasure above everything else. But isn't this going to last for a little while? That's all the pleasure that you see these movie stars have. They just live in luxury of everything they can think and imagine in their mind they can have. But it's only going to last a little while, and they're going to die. And then we see possessions they have. Like here tonight. How much possessions do we all have tonight? Your bank account or whatever you have. But you know it won't be yours 100 years from now. It won't be yours 50 years from here on, most of us, I can tell you that. And probably I can narrow it on down. It's not going to be yours. So will that last? Position. Where's George Washington? Pretty good position, would you say? Besides all the other people I named, where are they at? So you need to ask yourself this question. Evaluate what's really important. And also we can eliminate what is not important. How are we going to do that? What's not important? Several verses of Scripture. Philippians 3:8 says, "You doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And now abide faith, hope, and charity, but these three, but the greatest of these is charity." We need to find out things that will last and eliminate these things that's not important. You know what God says? He says, "I'll meet your needs if you'll honor me." You know, tonight we had some needs for different people. Every one of us here tonight, we know we have some needs. Y'all about got us a song ready to go? Every one of us, we come in this building with needs, every one of us. I got some needs in my life right now I'm asking God about. And a lot of wants we have, but some needs. And he said, "You know what, I'll meet all your needs. You know what, if you just take the value of the Word of God," he says, "I'll meet your needs." Just the value of the Word of God. If you was out in an uncharted desert somewhere or another, and you had, would you want a map of a city next to that desert, or would you want a telephone book, or would you want a compass that showed you north and south, east and west, that you might get out of that uncharted desert? You'd want a compass to show you what direction to go in. Well, did you know tomorrow will be uncharted for you and me? There's a day that we have never lived, and that's tomorrow. When you get up in the morning, if God allows you to get up with blood still running warm in your veins, that'd be a day that you've never lived before. That's an uncharted day that you know what you need, the leadership of God for tomorrow in your life. How about next week is an uncharted week? Next month is an uncharted month. If God lets us live next year, it'll be an uncharted year He allows us to live. And you know what? We need the leadership of the Word of God for guidance to know what direction to turn in the Word of God. Well, I tell you, we need the Word of God, and we need to have this divine plan that God lets us get in on of our life. Now, happy we would be. You see, there's a lot of people that's happy tonight, don't have very many material things in life. There's some people that's happy, don't have any health much left. But you see, there's some happy people in the world. You know why? Because they're dependent on the rock. They're dependent on the rock. One of these days we're going to lay down and somebody's going to see us there on our deathbed. Maybe our family, our loved one, they're going to look in your face and your old bony face and that pile of bones and that you might be and pile of pain. And they may say, "You know, look like they're sinking on down, don't it?" But I can tell you one thing. You're laying down on the rock of salvation. You can't sink in a rock. And that's Jesus Christ. He'd be there for every one of us. And you won't have to worry about sinking if you're on the rock. And the Word of God is our leadership and guidance. We want to thank you this night. Getting ready to play a song. Y'all want to just bow your head for just a moment?